welcome to the Interracial John Podcast. I'm your host, Leslie Mack, and I'm joined, as always,
by a very white guy.
You are very white indeed.
Got my movie sound effects.
Good Lord. Why did you, all 10 of you that listened to this show and decided to let this fool think that his sound effects are what the people want to hear?
Listen. You know it, dude. You know it.
Anyways, if this is your first time joining us, thank you for joining us. You can find this show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search Interracial John. That's J-A-W-N. Or you can go to our website at interracialjohn.com. And please subscribe if you do listen on iTunes or Stitcher. That helps us out quite a bit. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or Tumblr. Again, at Interracial John. That's J-A-W-N. And we love feedback.
We do.
You can leave us feedback so many different ways. You can leave us a straight up review on iTunes or Stitcher. And if it's 5 stars, we will read it here on the air. You can also email us. You can just type in interracialjohn@gmail.com and that'll come to us and we'll read it on there, assuming it's not, you know, nuts. And you can, easiest of all, pick up the phone right now, dial 657-JOHNERS. That's 657-JAWNERS. If it's under 3 minutes, we will again play that on the air. Shout out. What's that, Drew?
We're doing something wrong because, like, we haven't even gotten hate mail, right?
We're doing everything right.
I don't know. One of the two. One extreme. Because usually you'd assume at, like, some point somebody would be like, you know, fuck you, Interracial John, you motherfuckers.
Oh, I delete those. Just kidding. I don't delete those. Shout out to Rod and Cameron from the Black Guy Who Tips for our general feedback rules. And also, if you're sharing or talking about the show on the Twitters, please be sure to use the official hashtag of the show, which is #TheJohn. And so we'll see it. Get some conversations going. We are in such luck today because we have, for the first time this year,
the O'Johner,
associate producer Carl is here. What's up, Carl?
What's up? In the house like I'm on punishment.
Yeah, we didn't do his intro though, babe.
Hey, we didn't get to that yet.
Oh, okay.
I already fucking told you exactly the order we're doing.
That's how you guys start with that.
Not yet.
Okay.
Before, I just was letting the folks know that he was here. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But first, I think we have some business to take care of. Speaking of feedback, correct?
Yes, we do have.
So let's do that because that's what I told you we were going to do. So let's do that.
Okay. Ain't got shit. 5 stars. It ain't got shit.
Got shit, yes.
And this is from Susie6.5. Thank you, Susie.
What's up, Susie?
I think Susie had written into the show, but let the 5-star review on iTunes. Appreciate it. Bump it. So the title was Problematic Pleasures. We talked about our problematic faves, I think, a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. And Susie6.5 says, my guilty but problematic song is Gimme That Loot by Biggie Smalls.
I love that song.
I cringe at the lyrics, but this flow is sick and the beat is so hard. I enjoyed this episode so much. Thank you so much. Keep them coming. Are you pulling up Gimme the Loot?
You know I'm fucking am.
Gimme the Loot.
Yeah. So let's sit here. Yeah. Motherfuckers
better know. You better be cabbage patching, Carl.
This is post. My man Imp left a tech and a 9 at my crib. Turned himself in, he had to do a bid. A 1-3, he be home the end of 93. I'm ready to get this paper, G. You with me? Motherfucking right. My pockets looking kind of tight. And I'm stressed. Yo, Biggie, let me get the vest. No need for that. Just grab the fucking gat. The first pocket that's fat. The tech is to his back. Word is born, I'ma smoke him. Yo, don't fake no moves. What? Treat it like boxing. Stick and move. Stick and
nigga, move. You ain't got to explain shit. I've been robbing motherfuckers since the slave ship. With the same clip and the same 4-5. 2-point blank, a motherfucker sure to die. That's my word. Nigga even try to broke on. Have his mother sing it. It's so hard. Yes, love. Love your fucking attitude. Because the nigga play pussy, that's the nigga that's getting screwed and bruised up.
from the pistol whipping. Webs on the neck from the necklace stripping. Then I'm dipping up the block and I'm robbing bitches too. Up the herring bones and bamboos. I wouldn't give a fuck if you're in error. Give me the baby rings and the number one mom pendant. I'm slamming niggas like Shaquille. Shit is real. When it's time to eat a meal, I rob and steal.
This song is problematic. She writes.
So for the bread and butter, I leave niggas in the gutter. Word to mother, I'm dangerous. Crazier than a bag of fucking angel dust. When I bust my gap, motherfuckers take dirt naps. I'm all that and a dime sack. Where the paper at? Give me the loot, give me the loot. Give me the loot, give me the loot.
Well, that was for Susie.
Like we talked last week, the like late 80s, early 90s, like an awful lot of like hip hop, rap, and R&B was
very rapey.
Can I tell y'all something? Very rapey. I played this off of YouTube, and the top comment on this page is a dude. I don't even know who he is, but his name on YouTube is literally the entire spoiler of Star Wars.
Shut up.
His name.
Wow. Well, you know, people are like fighting over that shit. So he made his Avi screen name the Star Wars spoiler.
Yeah, it's a sentence and it's the entire spoiler of the movie.
Wow.
Wow.
What happens at the very end? He spoils that.
Yes.
Wow.
What a dick.
What a dick.
Seriously.
And then I bet you he's going on commenting on fucking videos like an Autobot. So his comments are everywhere. And for what? To just so that you can spoil Star Wars. Like that gives somebody pleasure. Like, ha ha, I'm going to go do this.
That's a real dick move.
That is a super
Royal
dick move,
ass.
Dude.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, why is the comment on this video? What's the comment?
The comment is the comment on the video, but because it's his name, it shows, like, it would normally say, like, Leslie Mack. And
yeah.
Blah, blah.
But what's the comment's about the video? The comment's not something
he
like...
He quoted the video and then said, like, I like this song.
Okay. It wasn't, like, first just so he could fucking get his spoiler out there?
I don't... That's not how it works. So people have to, like, up and down your comments on YouTube.
Good point.
A bunch of other assholes, clearly. Anyways, thanks for your 5-star review. We really appreciate it, Susie. So thanks for that. And now you can play Carl Fincher.
Oh, can I now?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
You want to give me a countdown?
No.
You want to fade into it or nothing?
Just do it.
Hey, I woke up this morning and I got out of bed. Had to head on down to school because the teacher said, everybody put on your thinking caps. Because we're going back to school with...
What's up with Carl?
Ooh-wee.
What's up with Carl?
Ooh-wee.
What's up with Carl?
What's up with Carl?
Reading, writing, so exciting.
What's up with Carl?
It goes on and on and on. What's up with Carl?
So what is up with Carl? And for those who don't know, our associate producer is from St. Louis. He now resides in the suburb of Chicago. He's a self-professed blurred and a huge fan of cats and a huge fan of fat cats as well, and works in the tech industry, and he's just an all-around good dude, and we're so happy to have him back on the show. And
he's also the O'Johner.
He is the original O'Johner.
The O'Johner. Yes. Number zero.
Yes. Yes.
In fact, he heard about the John before the John was a thing.
This is a fact.
He probably heard the John before it was published for anybody else.
Yep.
And he's probably one of only a handful of people that have actually listened to every show. And that doesn't include me. That does not include me.
And he also is the only person who has recorded an episode of the John, not a spinoff show, but the actual John in the house. So
he's our only in studio guest.
The O'Johner
and Jerry Hill.
Yeah,
Studio 1.0.
Yeah, 1.0.
We're in the G-Rap basement now.
Yeah, so it's a whole different.
The Grap basement.
Yeah,
so a little different timber.
So what is going on, man? Last time you were here, you had just gotten your new job, and you know that whole navigation of you know whatever that is. How's that all going? What's going on with that?
It's going good. The job is going good. Just getting acclimated, learning a whole new part of the business. It's going really good. It's, you know.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Let me cue you up, dude.
This isn't that kind of story. Silly.
People have kind of embraced me into the business unit. So it's going good. I can't complain. It's a lot to learn, but it's going good. But, yeah, since I last talked to you guys. everything has kind of done a 180, as you guys know. Mm. Just moved into a new space earlier this month, which was good. So now I got my own condo. And the three most important purchases I've made so far, you will never guess what they are.
For the new place?
Toilet
for
paper?
I'm thinking toothbrush.
No. You'll never guess.
Wow.
What do you think, Leslie?
I said toilet paper.
So, now, here we go.
Okay.
Number one, the Keurig coffee maker.
Oh,
that
yeah,
motherfucker
nice.
Is the shit.
You never had a Keurig before, dude?
I have not. So I got the one.
So
that only does, not only does it do the single serve, it does the whole carafe.
Nice.
I went all out.
Good
went
deal.
All out.
Good deal. And I will say, just me, I'm not going to tell you like how to do Keurig, you do whatever you want. I have really enjoyed the your own grounds. Like Keurig allows you to buy the like K-cup like strainer deal. And I enjoy Keurig, but using your own, like get some fair trade, like really good ground, roast, fresh, like locally roasted coffee. Love it. Love
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Number two, the front loading washer and dryer. When I tell you that motherfucker washes and dries a shit of clothes, Leslie and Drew is fantastic.
We've had front loaders before. They're good. You have to occasionally leave the door open and throw in the little like cleaning thing. Sometimes the water gets musty. But, yeah, we had a high-end LG front loader. Shit came out just like, wow, is that what clean clothes are supposed to smell and look like? Wow.
Exactly. And number three is a sectional couch.
Oh.
This thing is – so you remember how you had Drew and Cherry Hill on the left-hand side of the couch was like kind of a longer seat?
They call that a chaise.
Yes. Got one of those on the sectional.
Nice.
Boy, is ridiculous.
Is it an L-shaped or what is it?
L-shaped with an ottoman. All kind of.
And so chaise on one end, L-shape, and then what's on the other piece? Is it recliners or just regular couch?
Just regular couch.
Nice. With an ottoman. Nice.
All kind of naps on this bad.
Yeah, that's a lot of space.
All kind of naps. But it's going good, man. I can't complain. I think the next step... I'm a little nervous about this. I'm going to have to get up in those URLs, Drew. I think you and I talked about that a little bit earlier. Getting out there and kind of getting into the scene again. It's been a long time since I've been in the streets. I don't know how the game works anymore.
Swipe left, I think. I'm not sure.
As far as I know, that's all I hear.
I don't know how this works anymore, but that may be next to the docket is to figure out how that works. So I'll definitely keep you in the loop and all the adventures that will happen with that.
Now, you talked about work, and like last time we talked about work, there was this sort of like you told a couple of different stories about a client, and that you were there for maybe this client in some way, and there was like the overall timbre was like we were worried that you might be asked to represent all of Blackitude while you're in this position. Has that come to fruition? Has that have you been like put on the like stand for all of Blackness yet?
No, but the same
thing.
That's good.
Ding for that.
The same thing has happened in this role that happened in the previous role. So in the previous role, I worked with another guy who was black. He was actually from Kenya. As a matter of fact, he moved back to Kenya last year. So his name was Abe. So short hair, wore glasses. I probably had about 50, 60 pounds on him. Didn't have an accent. Never fail. Someone would call him Carl and someone would call him.
Jesus Christ.
Ridiculous. So, I get to this new role. There's another guy. His name is Mike. He's a supervisor. Short hair. Once again, I probably got 50 or 60 pounds on him. And someone has mistaken me for Mike. So.
And there's like, I don't know what it
there's
is.
There's only two of us. Business unit. Only two.
I didn't want to say that, but there's exactly two black people.
Two names. Just identify two different faces.
go down the like the absolute worst is calling you straight up Mike. Like, hey Mike, can you take this?
Exactly.
That's the worst.
What happened was I was talking to someone and she's like, oh yeah, you have two kids. I was like, no, I don't have any kids. She's like, oh yeah, you do. You have two kids.
Telling you that. Okay, good.
Right. I was like,
not
no,
me, dude.
Unless you know something, I don't. I don't have any kids.
You gotta
don't have any kids.
What was the dude that did the interview? No, that's the other black guy. That's the what's in your wallet black
guy.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, that's right.
No, Mike's the other black guy. He's the having kids black guy.
Right, I'm not that black guy. I'm the other one without kids. But yeah, besides that, man, it's going good. It's challenging, which is exactly what I wanted. you know, kind of running my own region, running my own little business there. So it's going good. I can't complain.
No, good. Get on the man for doing you right.
So something else I forgot to mention, and Drew, you'll appreciate this. So during this time, you know, all the move, all the stuff, you know, have been super busy. Dropped a little weight. I'm down to a size 32 waist now.
Ooh, that's petite, dude.
I haven't been like a 32 since I was 12.
And that's just because you're busy? You're not eating? You're not working out?
Well, I'm still working out. But I, what happened was I was moving and I was trying to do everything and just wasn't eating. And, you know, my eating habits have changed. So that was a little strange. So I had to go out and buy some new clothes, which is not a bad thing. As you know, I like to shop, but.
Yeah. Are you looking for that video, Leslie?
I have it. Okay. Here we go.
You got to get some of the, like, the Joe Eaters, Mr. Big, bulk yourself up, dude. Start drinking some, like, 8,000-calorie milkshakes and shit.
Or maybe it's evolutionary. Evolutionary. You know, maybe it's something to get.
Oh, you know, you can be on them streets again. You lost some weight. Right. You trimmed up.
Get ready. Get ready
okay.
for it.
Okay. Okay. No, did Carl's Jr. grow 2 inches, too? He just, like, all of a sudden, like, we ready, player. We ready. Let's do this. Let's do this.
Ready. Bust it up. Let's do this.
He just drops 2 inches. I don't know what happens. Like, whoop, there it goes. What
Let's
the hell?
Do it, guys. Let's do it.
Oh, man. But no, man, everything is good. I can't complain.
So it's Samuel Jackson that got called.
Yeah, here it is. Here. I think this
that was
is
a right
here. The reaction to that Super Bowl commercial?
What Super Bowl commercial?
Oh, you know what? I've admitted my mistake. I, you know what?
You're as like. Crazy as the people on Twitter.
Right. I'm not Lawrence Fishburne. That's my fault. Oh, I know that. God. That was my fault. My mistake. You know what?
Blue. We don't all look alike. You're crazy. All black and famous.
You are guilty. Look alike. I am guilty.
I am guilty.
He thought you were Bob Dylan. Right.
You're the entertainment reporter.
I know.
You're the entertainment reporter right. for this station.
Vlog.
And you don't know the difference between me and Lawrence Fishburne.
My mistake. I apologize. Really, my big mistake. Let's talk about.
That must be a very short line for your job.
It probably would not be hard to get another person to sit right here. Let's talk about RoboCop.
Oh, hell no.
Really?
Really?
I apologize.
But I'm the other guy. But I'm the other guy. The other one. What's in your wallet?
Right. That's it. That's exactly right.
There's more than one black guy doing a commercial.
There it is. No question about that.
I'm the what's in your wallet black guy.
Okay.
He's the car black guy.
There it is.
Morgan Freeman is the other credit card black guy. You don't hear his voice, though, so there. You probably won't confuse him with
You're 100% right. To RoboCop,
there's
you
a heavyweight black guy that's like putting cash down in the seats in a baseball stadium. But he's also the black guy that turns off the house, the water, and the lights when his kid tells him the house is cool. I'm not that guy either. And I've actually never done a McDonald's or a Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I was all in.
Fair enough.
Yeah, see, Carl's version would have been like.
The only black guy in RoboCop that's not a criminal.
Okay.
Okay, what?
Carbon, like, I'm not Mike. That's the other black guy. And then you could have gone, like, two your older division.
The Peter Weller version?
Yes. I love RoboCop. When it came out, it was...
Okay, he handed that dude his entire ass. It was hilarious.
But I don't... They're just two of us. Two! It's not like... It's not like it's 100 black dudes... That work in it's just two.
And he also he is the entertainment reporter in L.A. and doesn't like know that Lawrence Fishburne was the one in the Super Bowl commercial.
But Carl said about his division, there's only two of him. You have two black dudes.
That's nothing.
And my hypothesis is y'all got too plain of names.
Maybe.
Mike and Carl.
I don't know.
It could be like Jamal and something.
Is that what it is? Drew?
Hypothesis, dude. Hypothesis. You got two like bland sounding.
You know how many Steves, Jims.
Well, this actually is a decent segue to a story that I read today on Facebook, on Twitter, actually, by @BlackMagic, MAJIIK. She starts by saying, "Did I ever tell you guys the story of how I fucked with my white coworker out of spite? No? Let's go. Y'all ready? Here we go. I don't need that music because this is not a sad story. It's fucking hilarious. So I had just gotten, I'm speaking in LaTora's voice. Okay. So I had just gotten promoted and had moved to sit with my new supervisor and team. I was a little nervous because the area was white as fuck. I chose the seat next to the only other black girl on my team. Little did I know that on the other side of me sat the mayonnaise monster.
Oh, that's the wrong sound effect. That's supposed to be the trombone. Mayonnaise monster.
You want me to start over?
No, do the mayonnaise monster again. Just that line again.
I chose a seat next to the only other black girl on the team. Little did I know that on the other side of me sat the mayonnaise monster. He comes to his seat and introduces himself as Evan. Asks my name. Mind you, my name, my new desk has my name on it. He looks at the name and says, "What the fuck does this say?" I brace myself for the fuckery. It is my full name and not my nickname, so I give him a break and I sound it out for his simple ass, like LaTora. He gets annoyed and tosses my name plaque back on my desk. He fakes confusion and says, "LaQuisha?
The fuck?
Not today, White Satan. Not today." I look him dead in his eye and sound it out again for his clearly dumb ass. LaTora. Hold up. There's more. He scoffs and says to my black ass face, "Whatever. I won't even try. All those names sound alike anyway." I struggle to hold my composure, smile, and gently say, "Oh, what kind of names?" He shrugs and says, "You know, those hood black girl names. They all sound the same, so I refuse to try."
All right, seriously, guys? I mean, really? The fuck, dude? The fuck?
And laughs in my face. I'm like 0.2 seconds from losing my cool and my fancy new position. I inhale and say, "Yeah, I completely get it, Todd," and smile as innocently as I possibly can. If you remember, this bitch ass's name is Evan. He knows that. I know that. He knows I know that. I spend the next 6 months referring to him as the whitest white boy names I can think of. I mean, to his face, to other coworkers, in emails, everywhere. "Hi, Jake. Billy asked me to get this to you. CC Josh." It gets to the point where other people start doing it. Not only is it hilarious, but he is clearly getting mad at it. Finally, he comes to my desk and asks to speak to me. He pronounces my name right this time. I say, "Sure, Sam. What can I do for you?" He sighs and says, "I get it, okay? I'm sorry. Just please, stop." Finally, I look at him and say, "You know what, Steve? I'll give it a try. I can't promise anything. White names don't come naturally to me." The end. Moral of the story, petty is as petty does.
6 months. 6 months.
CC Josh.
Sam want me to get this to you.
CC Josh.
That is a
riot. I love that she did it for 6 months.
It's the best. The ultimate. I love it. It's beautiful trolling. Good job. Yeah, well, I wrote her and told her.
Well done. Well
good
done.
Job.
Very well done.
LaTora, good job. Good job. So what else besides, I mean, new place sounds like good. Job's going well. All that stuff is going well for you?
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, can't complain. Just trying to get everything acclimated, get everything situated. But it's good to go. I haven't had a chance to meet my neighbors yet. I think it's because it's so cold here in Chicago that no one really comes out. So hopefully there's some rugged.
They're scared of you. One of the two.
Well, that could be it, too.
Oh,
that,
shit. That, a black man moved in next door. God damn it.
Now
oh,
what's
going to
happen? When you guys were talking about the names, too, Kenny Wiley, who is a minister with the UU minister, black UU minister in Denver, he was like, "Yeah, I can't tell you." He says all the time that that's like a U thing. Somebody will call him Carlton or call him. there's like six black UU ministers, wow. And like they all get assumed to be the other, especially yeah. In like large groups. Like, oh, that's that one. A black person, you know, sort of. Now
there's only a handful. It's not like you have to memorize all these different faces and names.
Nope,
it's a handful.
Yeah,
nah. It probably, and I hate to say it, but if someone were to like study it, I bet it comes down to like just subconsciously, white people aren't really invested in knowing black people. They're just there's not a whole lot of like whatever that sub brain level, subconscious level of like, okay, like quote unquote effort am I going to put into knowing this person, getting to know them? Do I identify with them? Am I going to interact with them? You know, what am I going to put into like attaching their name and face into memory? And it all happens in a nanosecond. And there's probably some bias in there, or definitely some bias in there.
Oh, definitely. Without a doubt.
You know, what was your name? Carl. Huh? I'm sorry, what? Like Carl. Okay, Mike.
What, Carlton? Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We did have someone did update me on the last episode. We were talking about my boy, my smooth mustache's dad, referring to the candy at the movie shop as pogey bait.
Pogey bait, yeah.
And I've been informed, educated by Sidewinder on Twitter. Thank you, Sidewinder. That pogey is a slang, army slang, P-O-G, person other than grunt. So it's somebody who's like not combat ready, right? Like the grunts are like those that are going out to like do the war, I guess. But right. So, you know, fatty foods and junk foods and crap food would be bait, you know, junk food bait. So pogey bait is army slang for crap food. So Masmooth Dash's dad wasn't making shit up. He's a veteran. He fought in the Korean War. So.
Yo, if I come up to visit you guys, I got to meet this guy.
You'll meet him.
I hope so.
Last episode, you kind of really jeffed him up as far as, you know, his max skills. So.
Oh, fuck, he's hilarious.
We haven't been able to explain it, though. It's a mystery. Maybe if you came here, you could be slaying, too, Carl. Well,
maybe it's just Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids.
But his dad's been fucking hilarious forever, dude.
He has this, like,
one-liners. Like Benny Goodman or Benny Hinman or whatever guy's name is.
He has this terrible green blazer that he wears all the time. And the first time I met him, I was like, oh, that's an interesting blazer, Bob. And he goes, yeah, it's an amateur.
U.S. Open amateur
title. I won that. I was like, like off the cuff, he was ready already to.
His master's amateur.
His master's amateur jacket. Hilariousness. So we don't have any news today, but you had some stuff you wanted to talk about.
There was a couple things, and I'm actually interested to hear Carl's opinion. We've talked at various intervals on the show, and I really do. I should talk to individuals directly. I don't mean to be like the podcast version of subtweeting shit.
Fuck them.
Snap. But so we've talked, all of us have at various times, about just quote unquote white allies, and in particular this one large organization, Surge, showing up for racial justice. That's pretty active, and you hear about Surge a lot when you hear about white groups doing stuff and people forming groups locally. It's typically a Surge chapter, but they're not, in my opinion, like, let's say the Bay Area Solidarity Team, right? Like, the Bay Area Solidarity Team, like, they're fucking shutting down BART stations on Oscar Grant's, you know, anniversary and shit. Like, they're doing some pretty powerful work. But so, Surge, you know, I've been, like, a little critical and, like, you know, what are they doing? Like, what's the point? And everything seems to be, or to me appeared to be, geared towards getting more Surge members. And everything I hear from, like, white anti-racist elders, not everything, but a lot, is, well, we got to educate and wake up more white people. And I've, you know, questioned myself, just like, well, what's the number? Like, is there some mythical, like, you know, X number of people are woke up and like, now we're going to end supremacy. And I joked about that, like, you know, like, is there a number? What's that number? How do you know when you get a number? Blah, 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 blah. Well, there is a number. There actually is a number. And Surge, in their year-end fundraising efforts, because they're trying to raise money now, I've got membership and fees, and we've talked on the show about perhaps a way they could do that slightly better. But anyway, they referenced the number 7 million. And I thought, well, that's strange, 7 million. So I did a little more digging into their literature and their email. And there's a philosophy, an opinion. I don't know if it's how you could prove its veracity, whether it's correct or not. But the opinion is it takes 3.5% of a population to make a shift in sort of like systemic sort of ways, right? So it's going to take it'll take 3.5%. And 3.5% of the U.S. population is 7 million people. So I thought, well, okay, at least now that like there is, I hadn't asked these questions directly, but I've been kind of like, you know, questioning what is this? Is there a number? So yes, there is a number. And I think in their policies set up their mind, that number is 7 million. The issue I have a little bit, well, there's a couple issues with that. One, I don't know if I believe that that's the number and whether you do anything until you get to that number. And then what do you do? Like, you could do more with less than 7 million. You don't have to get 7 million to actually make an impact. But anyway, they've got now, I think, 100,000 members. Last I looked at her and talked, which is just like, okay, that's a pretty good number. But quick math, if this last year, which was, you know, race was, I don't want to say front and center, but like, you know, if you were going to have a recruiting year for Surge, this was it, 2015. Like, that should have been like, you know, maybe you can do better and better each year. I don't know. But based on this year, that 7 million figure would take 70 years. Am I right? Like 100,000 a year times to get to 7 million in 70 years. Like that seems like a glacier-like pace. Yeah. But I don't know. I just thought, like, as an update, I've talked about it and kind of bitched about it. Like, you know, what are they doing? What's the plan? And it seems like all they're doing is trying to get more people. And yeah, that maybe is the plan, to get more people, because there's a philosophy. And I'm not saying that it's right or wrong.
Well,
let me
just say this. Hey, black people, all y'all listening, just so you know, we can't start fighting for equality and people being killed in the streets and our freedom until 7 million white people agree.
Don't put
write that down,
don't
y'all.
Put words in Serge's mouth. I'm not saying that's what's happening. I don't know.
Well, it almost sounds like if you read Malcolm Gladwell. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, it is like a
tipping point.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
A tipping point. But I don't think it'll necessarily take 70 years. I think as you have younger people coming into the fold, they'll probably kind of get on board faster than older people. That's kind of been my experience. But, you know, I don't know if there's any validity to that. There may be, but who knows?
Aside from validity, at least it made a little bit of a confirmation to me, like, okay, it seems like the goal has been to get more people to join Surge, and that obviously is one of the goals.
Right, yeah, definitely.
Okay, you know, right or wrong, I get it. You know, I'm not going to debate it, and I'm not a part of it, but...
To be determined.
Well, wait till we have 7 million and one, we'll find out.
Right, we'll find out.
And if it takes 20 years, the number will be 12 million by then. You know what I'm saying? Like, the population will grow. Like, I'm not saying that, like, anti-racist folks and racist folks are outpacing one another. I don't know who's outpacing the other in terms of, like, population, but I know population's growing.
Well, I just personally don't buy any of that, because what that is – I mean, is there – I don't even – honestly, there's so much wrong with this, with the philosophy in general. I don't even know where to start. The first of which being that, like – if there's two sides to this, which I actually don't think that there are, and the powers that were fighting, do they have 7 million people? Do they need 7 million people to be oppressing folks? No, they don't.
No, they're efficient as fuck.
So I don't understand this argument that you need a groundswell. What you need is dedicated, committed, and effective people. You don't need 7 million assholes. I don't understand. It just doesn't make any sense to me, but hopefully it'll get there quickly. I don't know, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. I'm so over allies that I can't even fucking I can't even fucking get started about it.
My next piece was just I've seen now, and it seemed like there was a rush to like see how many allies could fail, like commit Harry Caray before the end of 2015. And it was a lot. And everyone, not everyone, because one, I think it was just like a shitty fucking, like, you know, horrible white supremacist person the whole time and just like didn't really care and was trying to like just get attention. I think they've got like some other issues. But the other allies I've seen, and I always use air quotes, allies, that, you know, wannabe allies, quote unquote, that have failed almost universally because of fragility, because of their inability to withstand critique. And a hallmark of white fragility is your racial, what you're used to, your racial norm is disrupted, and that causes discomfort. So you get defensive and fragile and so forth and so on. And for allies, that racial norm frequently is getting cookies. We're just like, oh, you're a good ally. You did a good job. You posted this thing and you amplified that, and good for you. And oh, like, fave, retweet, follow, favorite, friend, you know, and especially when it's online, right? When online cookies are so easy to get. Like the joke I saw was a male feminist walked into a bar because it was set so fucking low. You know, like the same kind of thing. Like a white anti-racist walked into a bar because it was on the floor. Like as a white dude, like I can say the most basic shit. I can just like repeat shit that black men and women have been saying for centuries. And everyone's like, oh my God, very white guy. That's so unbelievable. Oh my God. You like in a span of a Facebook post or a tweet exchange, maybe they don't know that Leslie's my wife. She'll be talking to somebody and she'll be getting like, you know, fuck you, you fucking bitch. Fuck you, you motherfucking bitch. Fuck you. And I'll say virtually the same thing. Like, oh, I'll give that some thought, very white guy. I appreciate that. You know, like, so like I get that there's a, you know, people will listen and hear things sort of quote unquote differently, but the cookies on fucking online are so easy to get that I think allies get used to those cookies. And then when those cookies don't come for whatever reason, it just shatters their, you know, their racial worldview, and they get very fragile. And the one that just happened on Facebook, fuck. I don't say like that's why I don't Facebook. I just don't Facebook in general, and I'm gonna maybe try at some point again. I don't know. But this person like first had an idea that they wanted to teach about racism, which is like, okay, it's a little bit controversial for a white person to say, like, I'm going to teach about racism. And there was quite a few things that were maybe problematic about the approach and some of the language. And a black woman came in, and the nicest possible way is like, hey, listen, this is, you know, one of my friends brought up that this is kind of weird for this reason, but really pleasant, like nothing even close to like, you know, like I think personally the black woman was attempting to mitigate this white ally's fragility, literally was going out of this person's way to be like, listen, don't be fragile. There's a couple things that may be a little bit problematic with this. And right away was just like, you obviously didn't read my post. You know, got like defensive off the cuff. And then people are like, well, wait a minute. You know, don't get defensive. Don't silence the black woman that's trying to talk to you. And it just went from there into like 100 fucking, like an entire shit show. Like literally, it was the most grotesque. There was a black woman that wrote this. This is the summation of the post. This entire thread from OP down, everything said, everything not said, sums up the entire fucking struggle for black women and girls in a tiny microcosm of a shit show. A hot fucking mess for sure, and a real disgraceful end to an already disgraceful year of injustice. Deep reflection and a gluten-free diet of shut the fuck up is an order. And it was like, I gotta say that's a fair assessment of this thread. And now, and I made one comment that was like, listen, you got kind of defensive, unfriend, block. And then deleted the whole thread, and now it's like, you know, commenting about people, talking about screenshots, and now, and basically has now turned around to, she's the victim, and isn't going to do justice work anymore because these black women came and attacked her. And, you know, she can say all these horrible things about these black women, and it's not necessarily problematic or racist because she doesn't hate all black women, just these specific black women, you know? And it's like, it's really just, and she's blocking people, and it just was a meltdown. Anytime someone comes in and says, yo, you're acting really fragile, delete that comment, unfriend and block that person. Like literally like cultivating a bubble of, I'm so right, I can't even possibly listen to someone suggesting that I'm not right. And I'm going to delete anyone that even attempts to tell me I'm not right. And it's just like, fuck, man. And I've seen like just way too many of those, way too many of those. And maybe year 2016 will be the year of white accomplices learning how to accept critique without.
Spoiler alert. It won't.
No.
It won't be.
I'm
I'll tell you right now. That's a goddamn lie.
Fragility. I mean that's huge. I mean, to go back to the story that Leslie read about earlier about the guy, about the name and the girl, 6 months he couldn't take it. Try having that happen to you for 20 years.
Every day. Daily.
And for no reason, because that's the other difference, is that these were justified moments of discomfort. Like, you were made to feel you know, discomfort for a reason. Like, you should be. You shouldn't feel comfortable writing this, like, missive. And the thing that was really triggering, I think, and that's why any of us even responded to it in the first place, was that she posted this in a public page, and it was like, white people, come, friend requests me, I'll talk to you in private, and I'll make you feel super duper comfortable saying really racist shit, and then I'll teach you how not to be racist anymore. And then this bitch proceeded to be hella racist to every black person in this thread, just proving how ill-equipped she was to teach anybody any motherfucking thing.
That's the ultimate
and that
irony.
Is the fucking that's problem the and that's why that bitch was called out in the first fucking place. So that's what I have to say about all that. Go ahead, Carl.
You said it, the ultimate irony.
You said it perfectly, Leslie.
I'm going to teach you guys about how to handle racist stuff in a private, safe space, but I can't even handle being critiqued to start with about my approach.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I mean, the fragility, I think that's a huge part of it. I mean, because like being a person of color, that's or a black person or whatever you are, that's something you face every day.
I mean,
that's, you know, when I walk into a store sometimes, I know people are following me. You know, I've seen it blatantly. There's a specific store I don't go to anymore, but there used to be a store that I'd walk into. There'd be a white person in front of me, white person behind me. They'd walk in, whoever was working at the store would say hi to them, wouldn't say hi to me, said hi to the person behind me. All the time. I mean, that's, you know, I don't think they can handle that. I don't think they understand how that works.
Because
like you said, it would just, to have to experience that from this point for the rest of their lives would just break them down.
Well, and I, you know, it's interesting. I've often described the, like, the inverse, the conditioning, the normative supremacist conditioning is like a knee-jerk reaction. Like some shit fucked up happens, and instantaneous, every white person around is equivocating, like, oh, they didn't mean it like that. That wasn't their intent. Like,
it's, yeah, it's, and the thing was that all these white people, before any of us saw it, they were like, I'm going to do it. I'm posting it on my page, too. And it's like what the supposition that was set up was that these white people were going to be able to come to these white women, get a pat on the back and some sort of lesson and not being a shitty white person, even though these white women were shitty white people, and then get a cookie and be going out in the world harming black people all over the fucking place and be able to be like, well, Karen said I could do it.
Yeah.
She said it was fine. So what's wrong with it? Man, fuck you.
Well, you're right about that, and that's why the interceding happened, right? The individual that started the first critique, I assume did so because like 30 ass people are doing, this is great, I'm gonna do the same thing. Like, whoa, put the brakes on, Becky's. But so the
one issue, of them actually was named Becky, for the record.
But the issue of that sort of knee jerk response of equivocation, there's absolutely, and I don't know how you could, and this might be the, you know, I've never thought of it this way, but this is something you could literally train. Like, you have individuals as psychologists that teach people how to overcome fears and different phobias, and you can decondition someone from in a cult, so on and so on. The white fragility response, there's an actual like sensation and feeling of discomfort. Like it's not just like an ephemeral thing that happens. There's actual physiological, you know, like adrenal glands start opening up. Like, you know, there's that fight or flight reflex. There's a portion of that that's triggered, literally. Like, when I say it's like an actual response, like you can feel it. And as a white person, if you could, A, learn to identify that, like when I'm, you know, in a place of racial discomfort, I'm going to feel this certain way, and recognize that. As soon as you can recognize it, you can not react to it. You can say, oh, wait a minute, this is conditioned. I'm feeling this way because of supremacist society and conditioning and thinking. You know, it's not real. It feels real, but it's not really real. And then the second thing you can do is start to understand, like, okay, wait a minute, why am I feeling this way? And when I feel this way, that's when to push forward. Not to pull back and be silent. Like, wait, okay, I feel uncomfortable. Let me understand why I feel uncomfortable. What did I do wrong? Not get defensive and say, I'm right. And it's like, you know, you really could. You could teach people, here's how you feel. Like, put them in a situation that makes them feel uncomfortable. That feeling right there is white fragility. The next time you feel that, you need to fucking shut up and listen and understand why. And you know, if you've got people in your life you can talk to, like, you know, why am I feeling this way? And they said this. And, like, literally, the person that posted this thing that, you know, started this whole shit show, at one instance, when the first critique came, got very defensive. You obviously didn't read my post, and go back and do this and go back and do that. I'm right. If they had instead said, oh, gosh, you know, you, a black woman, obviously know more about racism than I ever could. If you have a critique, by all means, let me understand. Please let me listen. You know what I'm saying? And that wasn't it at all. So if that had happened, the whole thing could have been avoided.
Two things. Number one, that's a lot to ask. Number two, there's no incentive for that person to do that. There has to be an incentive for that to happen.
Yeah, avoiding getting shamed. That's the incentive. Well, they got smacked on the nose publicly.
That's not enough incentive for that. Usually a lot of times for people to do that. Like for me, you know, the incentive is to be able to navigate through life and not, you know, have situations blow up in my face. I mean, like I talked about before with the name and all that stuff, that happens on the regular. You know, there has to be incentive for people to actually take time to recognize that I'm not Mike. Now, people that I know that I interact with on a daily basis and know me, that's not going to happen. But for the casual person that kind of sees me and Mike at, you know, different times, there's really no incentive for them to make that distinction because they don't care either way. We are at that point a monolith. So until there's an incentive for that to happen, I think it's going to continue to happen.
Yeah, the incentive is to do right, is to be an actual real fucking, like, quote-unquote ally and listen to people and do better. That's the only incentive that'll
look
get you
here,
to do that.
If we're going to talk about this, let's fucking talk about
this. Let's talk about it.
Okay, so we had – what's this bitch's name? Karen.
Oh, you're going to really talk about it?
Yeah, fuck this shit. You know what? I'm fucking done. I'm done with all of these people, fake-ass motherfucking allies out here acting like they're special. Karen Cornfield Rego. That's her fucking name. She's on her page right now. I'm sure – literally, when we were in the middle of this argument yesterday, I tagged her several times, like, Karen, this is really disgusting that you're allowing this to happen on your page. all of us are being attacked right now. It's not right. And you should be stepping in here if you're really an ally and think that you're equipped to speak for black people in the context of teaching white folks about racism, then you probably should be willing to handle this situation right now. And one of the posts that I wrote said, and I know that come tomorrow, this entire situation is going to be billed as all these angry black women came in and attacked me. And sure as shit, she blocked all of us, literally. And now she's talking shit about us on her page everywhere. And bitch, if you think we don't know what the fuck you're saying, you're wrong. Because we have spies just like your bitch ass does. And I know everything that you're saying. And it's okay. You could be like that and get your pats in the back and decide that you're not. So this other bitch, Ivy Costello, I'm going to talk about this one right here, too. She posts on her page today saying that, you know, she's got some messages about what her current relationship to anti-racism work is, she says. And she tries to explain why, you know, she's not doing any anti-racism work anymore. And she says this. I still belong to some online groups, but just as a bystander and supporter. Black sheeping, scapegoating, group bullying can happen in social media groups, and that phenomenon, coupled with the tendency of narcissists, sociopaths to rise into power positions, also made me less interested in adminning any longer. Listen. This woman literally went into several groups that were started by black women and black men, took the groups over, changed the entire makeup of the group, decided it was going to be a completely different thing, and then tried to play like she was the victim and everybody's coming after her for no fucking reason. And then when she was called on her shit, she's like, you know what? I'm not going to do anti-racist work anymore. And now she's pitching it as though I'm just trying to be a great person and I'm focusing on other things.
Hmm. I'm going to plead the fifth on this one. No comment.
I'm just fucking sick of it.
I'm aware.
I'm going to call out Marsha Hart, too, while we're in here talking about stuff, because Drew and I happen to start a group called White People Do's and Don'ts. Our intention in starting a group with a bunch of other folks was to have a place for black people to kind of have a spot that they could point out microaggressions and small things that come up with our interactions with whiteness and with white people. And the white folks that were in the group would then mine those experiences for some general do's and don'ts, just to help white people kind of see a little bit more in the small ways in which supremacy shows up in their lives and in harming black people. Sounds cool, right? Pretty
Sounds
good.
Legit.
We've got like black people's voices. We've got white people putting together some content to go along with it. Sounds great. So after a while, started turning into a place where white people could come in and ask dumbass questions like, I did such and such and such. Why is that racist? Am I lying, Drew?
It turned into...
Am I lying, though?
You're not lying at all. It turned into... I left and it devolved without... Because I don't Facebook. It devolved into yet another of the million trillion places that white people can come in and basically say microaggressions, you know, and expose black people to these microaggressions that they could have, with a modicum of Google searching, discovered any amount of information on their own, right? Like, is it okay to touch a black person's hair? Like, of course not. Like, fuck, you really got to be in here asking, you know, like, is it rude to ask where are you from? Like, fucking A, are you kidding me? Like, this is not that space. So a lot of black people left, you know, like, fuck it. Why am I in this group of, you know, what used to be about curating you know, list of helpful, you know, it really on the inception, and here's really where Leslie's problem is, and I think it's a good distinction to understand. A space that started out as a space that was built with and by black people, all right, it was built with and for and by black people and white people. It was a mixed group, but on black labor, and they put in their time, effort, energy under the auspices of what we're doing is going to be created into a list of do's and don'ts, so we don't ever have to fucking say or experience this shit again. It, you know, we're going to help you guys as white people, as allies, figure this out, get it all together, and then you're going to go disseminate this so other white people don't do the same fucked up dumb shit. Right? That's as a black person, like a lot of black people are like, right, Leslie? Like, okay,
yeah.
I'm down for that. That
it
sounds pretty
like
good.
Constructive use of time.
Seemed like I'll a constructive use of time.
And we were going to do like a Twitter storm, and we were going to have a Tumblr,
right,
and like really like, you know, have some concrete things to live on beyond just the conversations within the group. That was the that was the goal.
Correct. But we both left because it wasn't like that at all. And only heard about it because somebody had a couple different issues. One was the group was set up so that anyone could add anyone to the group. Okay,
that's, I think all groups are.
I don't know if that's the smartest way to do shit, but anyway, it was like that. And someone added Imani from Twib Prime. Like, you know, on Twitter, her handle is Angry Black Lady, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and she's got like 40,000 followers. Like, she's a lawyer. Like, you know, this, maybe that's just not someone you just willy nilly invite into any old fucking.
She shouldn't
willy nilly
invite anybody into her group, anyways.
Anyways,
but much less one that had such a specific purpose. So I'd say that too.
Fair enough. And she gets invited into the group, and bam, right on the fucking page, question number one, you know, where are you from? Is that a microaggression? Is that, you know, am I allowed to ask black people where are they from? And so she went to Twitter and was like, you know, fam, what the fuck is this bullshit? This is crazy. You know, what are white people doing? Like, this is fucked up and nuts. They're inviting us to fucking look at this bullshit. And Leslie follows Imani and was like, whoa, wait a minute. What is this? And reached out like privately. It was like, hey, let me, you know, I used to be a part of this. I kind of started it. This
is
surprising.
I told her what the purpose was. And yeah. She goes, oh, that actually makes sense. And I was like, but that doesn't sound like what. And I said,
that's not what happened today.
That's not what sounds like you saw. So I'm going to go figure out what the fuck.
So
I went back. I reached out to the person who, this white woman, Marsha, who's the admin. And I was like, listen, you know, this is a really big problem for me. You've changed completely what the purpose of the group is. And you've invited a very high profile person. I like went and defended the group. And then when I come in here to see that it's evolved into a place for white people to continually be shitty and talk about stuff that's incredibly triggering to black folks. It's not a safe space for black people to talk about anything anymore. What the fuck? And this bitch actually had the nerve to say to me,
that's just how it evolved. That just, it ended up like this.
That's how it evolved, Carl. That's what happens.
Wow.
Safe spaces for black people just evolve. Safe spaces created by black people just evolve into spaces that are completely safe for triggering questions, language, and people. That's what happens. That's all natural to this white woman.
Yeah. No. Not, yeah.
I don't know what the group's doing now anyway.
So
the same shit.
You both left the group?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I can't be a part of a group that, you know, that this has changed into. That's not what I signed on for at all. And she was like, well, I guess you should leave then.
What?
Word.
It was me.
No, Drew. That's what she said to me in our DM. Right.
Okay.
Don't.
I'm not dying.
That's
I'm
what
not
she
doubting.
Said to me in our DM.
The whole thing's kind of fucked up.
It's real fucked up.
But that's just like every day. And that happens on groups in particular, group dynamics where it's, am I able to tell the story how that other group evolved or no, Leslie?
What other group?
The one that's very specific. There's a group you were trying to be like, hey, we're trying to have space in this group, but shit, that ain't working. Let's try a different group. Like, just group dynamics and the way groups have evolved.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. And I'm in a group that's just black women only. And the group came about because there was a group that was for self-care for anybody that's, you know, doing like, you know, justice work or just trying to, you know, talk about certain things and to have like a nice space. Self-care space only, and it was mixed race, so there wasn't any specific racial component to it. And it was like, oh, these white people are censoring themselves, and it's not safe at all for any of us in here. So then we made a separate self-care space that was just for black folks, and it was like, cool, you know, black folks in here, da, da, da. And then of course black men acted a fool, and misogyny was all over the fucking place, and we were like, okay, well, I guess we need to make a black woman space only. And it's like sad to see, and I love the group, it's fantastic and it's amazing, but this continual isolation of ourselves just to be comfortable, just to be able to say what we want to say without you know, being subjected to you know, harm is disturbing. And this is just online. Let's not even talk about real life. You know, this is just an online life that I'm speaking of, and it's just fucking infuriating, really.
Wow. Yeah.
Anyways, on that exciting ass note, we are not going to do any news. We're not doing lame duck blackness. We're not doing any of that shit. We are literally going to do an all countdown show. I have a bunch of different top this, top that, that we're going to go through. I think
I almost feel like we should just need a few bars.
Just hit it. Just hit it. I'm a black in a phone. I'm a black in a phone. I'm a black.
We're gonna move on now, one by one. We ain't gonna stop until the work is done. I'm a black, 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 I'm a black, 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 black. We're gonna move on now, two by two.
I just had to. I can't like an episode go by without those bars, dude. Sorry, just that bass line, dude.
Those bars.
You sent that to us because we, for those that maybe haven't been listening forever and a day, there was actually, I'm going to go back and find it. Let's see here. An older version of that song.
Am I black enough for you? Am I black enough?
That's the original. That's the original.
Am I black enough for you?
I like the original.
Yeah, but then. Oh, come on, dude. Horns, dude? Come on. That fucking bass line is just fucking just. It's too much. It's too much. I love it.
I do what I can, Drew. I do what I can.
You sent that shit to us. We were both
That's
just like.
That's why he's the associate producer, y'all.
We played it and we're like, oh my God.
It was so good.
So good.
So we'll start with this. A 2015 list of people we don't fuck with anymore, y'all.
Okay. Would I have to get my sad trombone ready?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. Y'all ready? This is from The Root. And okay. It's written by Michael Harriott. Here we go. Meek Mills.
Ooh.
Yeah, only because he lost that
battle. He got bodied by a singing ninja.
He got ethered. Oh my God.
I've honestly, like, there might be in like 20 years, like, the greatest disses of all time. Like, literally, like a VH1, like, you know, greatest disses of the decade. And Meek Mills fucking, he lost so hard. When Drake played them fucking with the memes on the goddamn projector at the concert while doing the whole fucking diss track.
Yeah.
So he might win a Grammy off.
Off of that shit. Grammy. Watch, he gonna perform that shit on the Grammys. I'm gonna shit myself.
Grammy, that has Yo. To be.
Would you be fucking
book,
trolling?
That is hands down the best.
Best diss track
ever.
You can't ever touch it. It'll be the first one that ever wins.
Grammy winning diss track.
A fucking Grammy winning diss track, y'all. Oh hell no. So
and that was off of a tweet, yo.
Are you girls?
He started with a tweet. That was one tweet. Careful on them Twitter streets, yo.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Life comes at you fast.
140 can turn your day around quick.
Michael Harriott says about Meek Mill. He says, that's the reason I know it's shallow and petty. But if you get beat down by anyone and that person's next move is to release a video doing the white boy shuffle in an empty room wearing a cardigan and Dockers, we can't fuck with you anymore.
You can't. You're done.
And he goes on to further say, I'm going to reveal a secret to you all. Drake's beat down of Meek Mill sent the dark-skinned brother community into a fucking tailspin. First, Steph Curry wins the NBA MVP, then this.
Then Drake?
Then this.
Oh,
one minute
God.
Meek was the hottest, hardest rapper on the biggest tour in hip hop or his girls tour. And
I'll
then
sure
poof,
someone just
he
somewhere
fucked
just
it all
up and down.
On Twitter. It's almost like his homie Will Smith waved a light pen from Men in Black in front of our eyes and Meek was erased from our memories. And Nicki Minaj's vagina history. Meek, you from Philly, dog. You drop below Will Smith on the totem pole of hard-ass Philly niggas to somewhere between Charlie Baltimore and Lee Daniels. Speaking of Philadelphia, number two, Bill Cosby.
He should have been number one.
Yeah, he's bad. He's not number two. This is no order. I'm just saying the next person on the list is Bill Cosby. Mm-hmm.
Everybody don't fuck up. Yeah, and just drop him like a hot potato. Mm-hmm. Actually, I shouldn't say everyone because there are.
I just argued with somebody right now. So
capes
are out, y'all. The next one should come as no surprise. Donald Trump. This is not limited to black people. We used to love Donald Trump because, like many people we fuck with, the Donald likes gaudy gold shit, owns a lot of flashy cars while living in an apartment, and loves to brag about how he's getting money and bad bitches. Now, come to think about it, Donald Trump might be a gangster rapper. Anyway, Trump ran for president and went full Pat Buchanan on us. Truth is, black people are used to finding out that their white friends are secretly racist, but Trump went from walling out and rounding up Mexicans to registering Muslims to okaying the beating of a Black Lives Matter protester. Say what you want about the Orange Fuhrer's lack of a plan for immigration reform, but his racism is comprehensive as hell. We just can't fuck with him anymore.
Yeah, my new nomenclature is Trump and Fuhrer.
Mm-hmm. Future is next on the list. If you tied me up, held a rusty knife to my penis, and told me you'd cut it off unless I named a Future song, I couldn't do it. I don't know if Future's a rapper or a singer. The only thing I know about Future is that it's Riley agreed that he's a fuckboy.
Didn't he have that big hit?
Did you can't name it either, so stop.
Coming
in
I just
next,
started thinking something. Like, nope, that's a weekend
coming
song.
Coming in next is somebody that I have not fucked with in a very long time, one Stephen A. Smith. We like Serial Sayer of Stupid Shit, Stephen A. Smith. That's his official title, by the way. Serial Sayer of Stupid Shit, Stephen A. Smith. Before he started building his collection of I'm Smarter Than You, Stupid Niggas, idiotic quotes and hyperbolic synonyms, Smith is one of those people who think that intelligence is determined by the number of syllables you can cram into a sentence. First, it was his statement about how some women get their asses beat because they provoke men. Then it was his Cosby-ass defense of Martin O'Malley and All Lives Matter by pointing the finger at black people. He hit an all-time low when Kevin Durant called him out for blatantly lying, and Smith's only defense was to threaten Durant on live television.
For real.
Ugh. Black people took offense to that, like when a bully picks on a quiet kid in class. Why are you picking on KD? You know Kevin don't bother nobody, so black people don't fuck with you, Stephen A. Smith. First woman here, Raven motherfucking Simone.
Sorry, before we go, Raven, back Stephen Smith.
Stephen,
he's always... in the new, like, it's like his news cycle is like, oh, he hasn't said anything like controversial and stupid and crazy or whatnot. But so he's now with Chip Kelly getting fired from the Eagles. Not just hinting, but called in to like Mike and Mike and said basically that he's been told by Eagles players that Chip was uncomfortable with black players.
He's a clown. I can't stand Stephen A. Smith.
I'm not saying there is or isn't any veracity to it, but that's what he's saying.
I don't
believe Stephen A. Smith.
No, fuck that dude. We don't fuck with him. Raven Simone's next. Her ghetto pass was actually revoked in 2014 when she told Oprah she wasn't black or African American. But we let that slide because she was Olivia in the Cosby Show. She hung with Mr. Cooper and, you know, she's so Raven. But we gave her the Great Value brand version of the benefit of the doubt that we gave Cosby for forming so many of our childhood memories. But she couldn't stop herself. We had our collective side eye watching and waiting for her to, in the words of her very own father, say some dumb shit.
Her very own, but just repeat it.
Famous
to his own father. Like, when you out there and your dad's like, yo, she say some dumb fucking shit, yo. Like, for real, dude. For real.
Oh, and she did not disappoint. Or did she? After she said that she would discriminate against someone who had a black sounding name. Bitch, your name is Raven Simone. With a Y. And an accent over the, a non-needed accent over the E. Stop. And then defended the news anchor who said that Michelle Obama looked like an ape. We cross her off the list of friends who can come to the cookout and the list of people we fuck with. And coming in at the rear, no pun intended, Ben motherfucking Carson. Remember when Cuba Gooding Jr., another dude who
played him in
sort
that
of don't fuck with, played Ben Carson in Gifted Hands and Carson became Black History Trivia? We likened the soft-spoken medical genius. We liked him then, but we don't know what that Carson was a right-wing conservative who went around trying to stab people in the dick while concocting theories about the pyramids being built by historical Jews as self-rising flour. Carson's litany of falsehoods have been well cataloged, but after he tried to convince us that free health care is as bad as slavery and that he saved white people during the 1968 race riots, we left him alone. Personally, I cut him off after he threatened my penis when I didn't know any future songs. Thank God I was wearing a belt. All right, Michael, thank you for that. That was a really
good one. Once shit started rolling, I forget which group did it, maybe it was 60 Minutes or somebody, but like kind of went through his book like chapter by verse and was like, so much of his horse shit. Like he stabbed the dude in the belt buckle.
Stop,
like,
I can't wait. Everything. Remember when he almost got robbed by a gunpoint in a...
Yes, baby, baby, blah, 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 blah. Thank you.
In you don't want to rob me.
A Popeyes organization. That's what he referred to it as. And he's a vegetarian. What the fuck you doing in Popeyes? Dude, just stop.
Yeah,
he's
single-handedly changed the rhetoric with... rocket scientists and brain surgeons.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah,
that's exactly. Done. It's done. Put it to bed. Maybe rocket scientists are still up there, but brain surgeons ain't.
All right, where we want to go next? We got entertainers. We got box office turkeys. We've got game show moments. We have 9 game-changing women. Let's go there. How about that?
All right.
Here we go. 2015 game-changing women. Zoe Kravitz makes the list. In the past, Zoe has maintained a level of mysteriousness that left everyone wondering what the rock... Duchess was all about. She surprised many this year, making major waves in film, music, and fashion. She was in Mad Max Fury Road. She was in Insurgent and Dope. All amazing movies. Dope was so good, right, Carl?
Drew, it was. I loved it.
Then followed up with Mixtape Every Fucking Day after an epic complex cover, walking the Balenciaga catwalk and blazing the red carpet effortlessly. Zoe collected a slew of new fans and put grunge chic style on the map. Alessia Cara, do you know who that is, you guys? She's a singer. She's a singer-songwriter. She's amazing. She's one of the people I wrote on that piece of paper upstairs. I was listening to music the other day, she's and I was like, this girl's good.
How old is she?
She's 19. She's a singer-songwriter. She put out a mixtape first, Four Pink Walls, and then she dropped her actual debut, Know It All, which is really, really amazing. She has a song on it called Here, and it's about being at a party and being like, I'm going to be over here in a corner.
Which song is it?
It's called Here, I'm pretty sure.
I have it up.
It's very good. Oh, we can play it. Good idea.
I'm trying to play it now.
Okay. Bet. What's
that playing? True, you haven't seen Dope?
No, he ain't seen it yet.
How come I won't play this shit?
Man.
I guess I have to do it on iTunes.
Oh, I'll do it. Here we go.
And I don't care what you say, Leslie. I still see it for what's her face.
Who? Oh, you can see it for her all you want to. Who?
The girl.
Oh, the girl, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I seem uninterested, or I'm not listening, or I'm indifferent. Truly, I ain't got no business here, but since my friends are here, I just came to kick it. But really, I would rather be at home all by myself, not in this room with people who don't even care about my well-being. I don't dance, don't ask, I don't need a boyfriend, so you
Wow, that is fire, dude. She's so good. That came from that 19-year-old right there?
Yeah,
shut up.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That was
What's
dope.
What's her name again?
Alessia Cara is her name.
That is dope.
So, y'all,
she's got a voice way
beyond her years. Know It All
is
her debut, and her mixtape is Four Pink Walls, but she is sick.
Crushing it.
Callie Uchis is another singer, and I didn't write her down, but she has this badass song, too. Let's see if I can find that. But she's a singer as well, and... what's her number one?
Poor Vida.
Better to Go. Is that her big one?
That's the tape.
That's the album, or the tape or whatever. I thought she had a different song, though. Oh, here. SoundCloud. Usually the best way. You can see who's playing what on their
SoundCloud. Has the most plays.
Yeah, which song are people really playing? Let's see. Oh, it's hard to tell on here. She has a lot of songs up here. Anyway, that looks like... Anyways, she is from Colombia, and she stormed their waves. Serena Williams, another woman, obviously amazing, Black Girl Magic in 2015. 21, she won her 21st Grand Slam title and was named the number one player for the fifth year in a row and just dominated. She was a sports person of the year and just fucking amazing. Love her.
Killing it.
Mm-hmm. Kehlani, I guess she's another artist to watch. She had a breakout mixtape. I didn't know. I don't know her either. So that's
I like her ink.
You like her ink? Oh, yeah. Her tattoos are cool. we'll check her out, too. Amandla Stenberg, amazing. She just was ridiculous. She had that Don't Cash Crop My Cornrows video project about cultural appropriation. And then she also has a new comic book called Niobe, She Is Life Out that she is co-writing. And her moniker or face is the main character's personage as well in comic book form. She had her first LP Honeywater come out and was voted Feminist Celebrity of the Year by the Ms. Foundation for Women, and she was also on the Ebony Magazine's Power 100. She's 17.
Wow.
Yeah. Zendaya, she had a big year too. She had her Barbie doll, and she had you know, she schooled everybody like Juliana Rancic when they came after her because of her faux locks on the red carpet. So she's cool. Netta, Elzy, sprung to action after the killing of Mike Brown and Ferguson. And Misty Copeland comes in last, first. Misty Copeland's amazing. She was promoted to the first ever black female to be principal ballerina of the American Ballet Theater and also was one of Time's most 100 influential people. She has a new documentary, A Ballerina's Tale. She's also the first black ballerina to dance Swan Lake. And she's just fucking badass as hell.
I honestly, I don't do anything on Instagram. I don't use it at all. I follow her. I'm not even kidding, dude. She fucking, her Instagram is like, and I'm not just because she's beautiful, but she's a ballerina. So she's taking pictures that are like, you know, like these interesting poses and, you know.
Justify it.
Thank you, sir. I follow Misty Copeland.
Drew, get on the gram for that.
I just lurk. I don't, you know. Every once in a while, I'm like, oh, shit, she posted a new picture? Look at that. Damn. She's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's move to the moments in 2015 that made us realize racism is not going anywhere.
All right.
Y'all ready for this?
Despite all these white allies' best efforts. Is that happening? No?
Higher Learning. One of my favorite movies back in the day was Higher Learning, especially since it came out around the time I was in college. Me too. Skinheads, check. Black power types, check. What do you get when they clash? A campus in turmoil. This year, campuses across the country put race at the forefront of higher education. There were racist frat bros of Sigma Alpha Epsilon at University of Oklahoma singing that they'll never be a, you know. They thought that would go unnoticed. Little did they know their song would go viral. The SAE school chapter at the school was eventually closed. Apologetic frat members were expelled. But, of course, mainstream media blamed hip-hop music.
And you remember his apology. Yeah, my family's under attack. And I didn't mean it like that. If you knew, I'm totally not racist.
Mm-hmm. Yik Yak was targeting black students there. Then we went on to talk about what happened at Mizzou with a concerned student 1950 and all the strikes that happened there with the football players.
Shout out to Butler.
Mm-hmm. And just everything else. And they even have noted in here in this Root article, Drew, that someone decided to play in the snow and write white power on all over cars on the campus of Michigan's Calvin College. That's right here in Grand Rapids.
And when she says right here, like that's on the real, it's like a half a mile from our house. It's like up the road. Calvin College's campus is literally like up the road from us. Like we could have students stay at our house. We're damn ass close to it.
Yep. Wow. Here's another Laughing While Black on the Wine Train. And other things you are not able to do while you're back. There's nothing better than hanging out with your girlfriend, sipping some wine. That's exactly what members of the Sisters on the Reading Edge Book Club intended to do when they booked their wine train trip through Napa Valley. And that's not even close to what happened. 11 of them, as people know now, were escorted off the train because they were laughing and talking too loudly. Not only were they made to get off the train, but once they stepped off, they were met by, yes, police. Laughing While Black was yet another thing to add to the list of things black people can't do, like go to a pool party while black, because apparently in McKinney, Texas, you're not allowed to do that there. You can't shop while black either, because just ask the Milwaukee Bucks' John Henson, who attempted to buy jewelry and was racially profiled instead. Want to be a Star Wars stormtrooper while black? Not really, because just ask John Boyega, who learned the hard way this year, that you can't do that either. But he's laughing all the way to the bank, obviously, because dumb you racists are. Yes. That's Yoda. I'm supposed to say, dumb you racists are.
Dumb you racists are. Yes.
And you wonder why NWA said fuck the police. This year we saw 272 black people killed by police, and out of that number, 69 were unarmed. But they're not just killing black people. Some would rather stick to just racially profiling them. Just a few months ago, tennis star James Black received his Negro wake-up call after a New York City police officer mistook Blake for a man who was accused of identity theft and attacked him. And when they weren't racially profiling black people, some of them decided to rape black women. Obviously, the Daniel Hoskott case, who was convicted of not raping 13, but raping 5 women, although he was accused and on trial for raping 13 black women that we know of. And it seems as though there's an unspoken rule to shoot and to kill when it comes to apprehending suspects. But if you're white, you'll get taken to Burger King for a supersized meal. And in a world where the police are policing suburban neighborhoods and cities, who's going to police the police? Because we know the Department of Justice has been doing a piss poor job of that. A boy and his clock. Oh boy. Kid walks into school with a clock he built in a new case, and school administrators immediately think it's a bomb. One has to wonder if Ahmad Muhammad were white and not Muslim, would his teachers have assumed that he was trying to keep track of time in an unconventional way? Donald Trump has always been racist. Yes, we've already talked about him enough. And that those moments let us know that racism is lamentably here to stay till we apparently get 7 million white people.
That's right. Until you get 7 million.
Right up until then.
Can't do shit.
Let's go through the start it from the bottom. Now they're here. The winners of 2015. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Black students at the University of Missouri. You just talked about Jonathan Butler, concerned student, 1950 organization. Just amazing grad student who went on a personal hunger strike that moved the Mizzou football team to action. He was committed to die for this. And I don't know. I do a lot of justice work, but that's a commitment that I have yet to make. I'll put it that way. I'm just being really real. Anyways, he resigned 72 hours later after the football players gotten into it. Coming in next, Cam motherfucking Newton.
Yeah, dude.
Cam
came up this year. Woo! Yes, he has.
Now y'all want me.
Yes. He became the NFL's winningest team this season with a record of 14-1. He also signed a $103.8 million 5-year contract extension and got his motherfucking bachelor's degree, y'all.
Yeah, Cam.
Killing
him. Dab on him. James Wright Chanel. Yes, James.
Patty!
He came up. His video went viral. He literally now... is that you, Drew?
Yeah, I was trying to get that in the background.
Oh, that's good. He he had his home cooking specials with Patty, which was amazing. And he got to have dinner with Patty as well.
Yeah, they did a whole show.
A whole show and amazing.
Yeah, and she's going to keep pumping it up. They're going to do a few things together.
Black women at the Emmys. Oh, yes. Black Girl Magic was on full display. It's 2015 Emmys. Viola Davis became the very first black woman to win an Emmy for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama. And her acceptance speech, she dropped the pearl. The only thing that separates women of color from anyone else is opportunity. You cannot win an Emmy for roles that simply are not there. Uzo Aduba won for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama. Regina King, my girl, won the Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Limited Series or Movie. All the while, Taraji P. Henson was just like the best girlfriend, just cheering everybody on, so excited. And we got gifted with the Ava DuVernay directed Taraji, Kerry Washington, and Mary J. Blige Apple Music video, which was like a girlfriend dance party. It was
awesome. That video was, and that was again a real good integration commercial of like when producers and promoters and TV, like live events, are now kind of like the thing to do, sports or Emmys and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about how Empire did a pretty good integration with Pepsi, and like there's good ways to do it and bad ways to do it. I thought that was one of the most successful integrations in that way ever, simply because you knew they're all going to be there, right? So you get them all under contract, you buy the airtime, you get the commercial, you know they're going to be there on stage at some point. Maybe they even got some stuff like after parties, after hours. Like there's a whole lot of connectivity you got between, you know what I'm saying? You didn't have to pay the Emmys anything. You just had to buy the airtime.
Yeah, well, you paid them that.
I'm saying you cut the middleman out. Otherwise, like when you do a whole Empire deal, like they're paying everybody. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Serena Williams, obviously. I mean, she wasn't at the bottom, but she definitely won this year. No doubt on that one.
Yeah, Sports Person of the Year. Give her another extra shout out.
Yeah. Yes. Next up is 17-year-old Atlanta rapper Salento, y'all. Whip. Whip.
Yeah, it's just too bad that white people ruined his shit like one summer. That's all we got.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
Once white people start doing it, it's no longer cool.
You already know. Y'all know.
I see someone's grandmother trying to nay-nay. It's been played out.
No, it just would go into the cha-cha slide, electric slide, you know, pantheon. And we'll just do it at weddings and parties now.
Exactly.
It's fine. It's okay.
Watch.
They'll be dabbing. It'll be all that.
Yeah, you're right about that.
That's all.
It'll be like the wobble. It'll come out.
Of course. The king of the light-skinned folks, Drake, of course. One big.
Speaking of.
I wear every single chain, even when I'm in the house, because we started from the bottom, now we're here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, he did win the year, for sure.
Yeah, he did, for sure. Just ridiculous.
Drake is killing.
I mean, he was dating Serena for a while. I mean, come on. I don't know. He just had to touch this year. This was the year of light-skinned dudes. I'm going to tell you that. Bree Newsom, I don't even know what to say. We actually counted down on Ferguson Response Twitter last night, the top 10 movement moments of 2015, and literally number one just was Bree took that motherfucking flag down, who was amazing. She is a filmmaker who's active in the movement. She courageously scaled the flagpole on the grounds of the South Carolina State House and took down the Confederate flag. She was arrested for refusing to respond to officers' orders for her to come down. Of course, the flag was raised 2 hours later, but it led to a whole bunch of things, including it eventually coming down. The Currys. Now, they won pretty much, although I have to say Aisha took a hit a couple weeks ago. Black Twitter was not happy with her, but whatever.
Mm. And she was doing her.
But the real winner was Riley, quite frankly. I don't even know what to say about that girl. She's the GOAT. Done. Like, for real. Black Cinema. Straight Outta Compton and Creed, amazing movies both. They both grossed amazing money and just were really, really good. And Ta-Nehisi Coates, what can we say? The ultimate winner.
Oh, yeah.
Ultimate winner. His book came out, number one, bestseller list. He got an endorsement from Toni Morrison. And to top off his motherfucking year, he got awarded the MacArthur Genius Grant. Y'all know about this MacArthur Genius Grant? They get a no strings attached grant award for $625,000 over the next 5 years so they can create and explore without the burden of financial stress. Literally, they were like, you're so smart. We're just going to give you all this money. You do whatever the fuck you want to do. Literally.
Hey, you know, and there's actually some research recently that suggests that that's actually the best thing to do in terms of creativity. That, like, you know, let's talk about poverty and talk about, you know, impoverished areas of Africa. There's buy a cow and there's this and there's that. There's groups that are like, no, we're just going to go give money and we're going to give cash via phones to individuals because they know what to do with it. This one person might want to invest in their part-time business and now it's a full-time business. This other person might want to buy a new metal roof for their house. Like, you can't decide what each community member needs. So direct giving, there's a interesting shift in that approach. And the MacArthur Genius is in that same vein. Like, no, we're not going to encumber you in any way possible. You know what you're going to, you know what best to do. We're going to facilitate you living so that you can do what you do. That's awesome.
About my check.
Exactly.
Cash it.
How about the top 50 white guys of 2015.
Yeah, do all 50?
We'll see if I skip around a bit. Let me know if y'all know this one.
That's a lot of dudes. It's a lot of white dudes.
2015 was a landmark year for a lot of us, but let's be honest, no one else quite dominated it the way only white guys can.
Forever,
it's hard
always
to narrow it down with so many great contenders, but here are the 50 white guys who truly went the extra miles to make this year memorable. Here we go. Number one, the white guy who shoots an unarmed black kid and gets off scot-free. That fucking dude.
There's a lot of dudes like that. There's not one dude.
Number two is the white guy who thinks a black kid had it coming. Fuck that dude. That dude sucks. The white guy who doesn't understand why black people would burn down their own neighborhoods in protest. Oh, God, that dude.
That dude.
Too many of those dudes.
The white guy who doesn't know why you're making this about race. You guys.
Yep. Met that dude.
The victim triangle. Let me get out that triangle.
The white guy who can totally empathize with black people because the Irish were once slaves too.
Oh yeah, this one time this thing bad happened to me. One time I totally know what it's like.
That white guy who thinks you might not know that Bernie Sanders marched with MLK.
He is the best candidate for you people. Why can't you people understand that he is the candidate for you people? Come on, you people.
Mm-hmm.
Please. Bernie is the only candidate that is for you people. I wish you people would understand how much he works for you people.
Mm-hmm.
You people.
Mm-hmm. The white guy who thinks it's divisive to talk about race and gender issues in the first place, guys.
Just, you know what? 2 years ago, I didn't even have to fucking think about all this racism shit. That's it's all you much. Black Lives Matter fucking people talking about race that's making it a problem. I never had to think about my race 2 years ago. Now I have to fucking all the time. Please, let's stop talking about it.
Yeah, and that white guy who thinks Black Lives Matter is a George Soros-funded plot to sow racism and discord among working class
people. You can stop right there because I know it's a fact. You know, that's why we say you get a job, because we know that you got the secret George Soros money, and he's a billionaire, and he's paying everything. All these protesters are paid. They're fucking called crisis actors. It's a complete fact. Just stop. Breitbart told me.
Frequently, these two are together. The white guy who doesn't have a racist bone in his body and the white guy who treats everyone as equals.
You know, we're all the human race, and we're all bleeding on the inside. And, you know, I'm not at all racist. I didn't own any slaves, but you guys need to get over it.
Yeah. The white guy whose opinion on whether something is racist or sexist is every bit as valid as someone who experiences racism and sexism on a daily basis.
Listen, I know you black trans women are having an intimate dialogue, but let me tell you what I think.
The white guy who feels under attack right now.
Every day. Mm. This Black Lives Matter is a cult, and it's racist. I know for a fact Black Lives Matter is racist because they're mean to me.
White guy who can't understand why you don't realize that he's on your side.
Honestly, you know what? I would have been for you people's movement, but you're so mean. You know, but I'm trying to be on your side. You people keep yelling at me. I don't know what's wrong with it.
The white guy who thinks being called out or criticized is censorship.
Yeah, you know, they're like a cultural Marxist, the entire Black Lives Matter movement. They're trying to tell me what to think. It's a cult. They tell you what to think, and if you don't think what they think, they're going to excise you like Amy Stevens. So better step lightly.
The white guy who's still waiting for evidence that the racism or misogyny you've claimed to experience is real.
You know, because we ended it. We've got a black president. We had Eric Holder. Like, what are you complaining about? Like, that shit is over. The 13th Amendment was way, way, way ago. And Martin Luther King and civil rights. And, like, I don't know what you're bitching about. To me, I don't personally experience anything remotely close to racism. And I don't see it in my segregated white sundown town community. So I don't know what you're talking about.
The white guy who's the voice of reason.
Listen, let me just give you my 2 cents. Wait. Well, actually. Actually.
The white guy whose Islamophobia is justified because he hates all religions equally.
You know, I don't know if I've run into that guy, but I can conjure him up. Oh, you know what? I'm not an Islamophobe. I hate fucking Jews, too. The fuck?
You pulled him out fast.
I said I don't know if I know that guy. I was like, oh, wait a minute.
I do know that guy. Now that you mentioned
that. You know, and sometimes they call themselves Christians.
Sometimes they do.
Occasionally.
Quite frankly. Quite often, actually. White guy who doesn't understand why you just won't defer to his expertise on this one.
I mean, I keep telling you guys over and over and over again. In fact, the best was the guy that tried to tell Crystals because he was a lawyer for diversity.
Yeah.
And she fucking chewed his entire ass. Oh, yeah, if there was like a best in 2015, that might have been the best. Like, she ate an entire fucking white dude's ass for lunch.
Everybody was like, what?
And the thing that killed it is at the end when she kept getting asked for quotes, she only gave one. And she goes, unfortunately, this won't be the last. This wasn't the first, nor will it be the last time I've had to
address a
profoundly ignorant white man.
Yeah, that's what she said. Guy, you'll love this guy, Drew. He's your favorite. The guy who views all human belief systems as part of a hierarchy and places scientific rationalism at the top.
Oh, yeah, that's the intellectual racist.
Yes.
Ivory Tower. And, you know, there's a weird vein.
They're the ones always say, that's the one that racism is a social construct, yeah, guys. Yeah. Why are we even so? We're all the, you know,
there's
the
this one, and I, since you're calling people out, maybe that'll be the thing for 2016 is calling people out.
I'll call every bitch out.
There's a Twitter handle called Ethnic Assets, and I don't know what this Ethnic Assets thing is about, but, like, the dude tweet, or the person, they tweet the same like most random ass shit, like, race is a construct, use your ethnic assets in a different way, and blah, 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 boo, boo, boo. It's a little bizarre.
Yeah.
Mute.
Yes.
There's got to be more. I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying
more.
My portrayal of white
the
people.
The white guy who's very easy.
I wear this jacket like a fucking a little too easily, but it's only because I know them. I'm not them.
This next one is you.
Oh, let's do it.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Tell you. White guy who thinks the new season of South Park is the best one yet.
Is that me? It's not the best one yet. I haven't watched South Park in 20 years, and I did watch this last season, but only because they kept trolling Leslie.
They were trolling Leslie.
That's the only reason I did it.
Like, wait, why?
Wait, in fact,
Leslie?
I got to pull that up. It is a little bit me, but.
Hey, Leslie! Do you know Leslie? Hey, Leslie!
I love that.
Hey, Leslie!
I gotta figure out ways to get there. Hey, Leslie! Yeah. But yeah, that is me. I'm a white guy. I would say I think it's the best, but for whatever reason, I had not seen any of the last maybe like 12 years, mm-hmm. like many years. Mm-hmm. And watch this one.
The white guy who is just trying to play devil's advocate, guys.
Oh, fucking
A. Oh, man.
Fucking A, dude. There's two sides to every story, guys. Just wait for the facts, you know. I'm just saying, if Tamir didn't have a gun that looked kind of like a toy gun and it was modified, I'm just saying, I'm just playing the devil's advocate here.
The white guy who thinks you should find something more important to care about.
Yeah, that's typically like, and I've seen that in its like most grotesque fashion is it's usually, you know, until you care about crime in Chicago on black crime here and there, which is a myth and a trope and we can talk about this one today. But the most grotesque, like, I can't even call it a fucked up like connection because there isn't one, is about abortion. And I've seen so many fucking idiots send me memes about this shit. It's like literally like you can't care about social justice, in particular police brutality, because abortion and some number of people that have abortions are black. It's just the logic is beyond.
I still have yet to have.
No, because you can't.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's just the dumbest fucking thing ever. Mm-mm. I hate
that
guy.
So we have a slew that have to do with Donald Trump. I'll go through all of them. The white guy who blames PC culture for Donald Trump's popularity.
Mm-hmm.
The white guy who says PC culture. Donald Trump himself is the number 35 top white guy this year. The white guy who wouldn't vote for Trump but admires his candor, and also the white guy who would vote for Trump.
Yeah, that's all under the umbrella of silent majority. And yep. They're fucking playing that shit like I'm telling you, I talked about it on the last podcast. I was there in this room. It's like it literally felt like what I imagine rallies feel like before they start burning books. Like it really was fucking like weirdly charged and like just like xenophobically charged fucking kids just excited for no reason. They don't even know why they're excited. Like, yeah, kill, 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 kill. Like literally, I was like, what are you chanting kill for? Like, this is the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen. And his rapport with the crowd, the whole thing was, it was scary, but I'm telling you, it looked effective as fuck, man. Mm. People ate it lock, stock, and barrel. And it is this whole, like, he's just saying what we've all been thinking all along. And mm-hmm. He even had the minister that came out and did his sermon was like, and let there be a leader who says what's right rather than what's politically expedient. In Jesus' name I pray. Like, that's just, really? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
In Jesus' name, y'all.
Politically expedient.
So these next couple of white guys, I know. We know this guy intimately, lamentably. White guy who thinks capitalism just rewards hard work and punishes laziness. The white guy who pulled himself up from his own bootstraps. And the white guy whose grandfather worked very hard for everything he had.
Yeah, I'm a product of all of those white guys. Mm-hmm. I am that white guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say that shit anymore, but you know, that's the everyone I went to school with, everyone I know, even people that would consider themselves progressives fail to see the connection between generational wealth building opportunities. And having a leg up, you know, the whole born on third base thing, and we hit a home run. And it just, when I see folks that I care about espouse, and it's like that Overton window of what you can say and how you can talk about this specific aspect specifically. Like it used to be able to be like, well, black people are lazy and white people are great. Like that was an okay viewpoint. Like now that's really not an okay viewpoint. And now people will espouse that same kind of viewpoint in a little bit gentler rhetoric, like, oh, I just think, you know, you should try hard, and, you know, I just, you know, I think it's about personal responsibility, and, you know, really it's about, you know, personal responsibility, you know, don't do this and you don't get killed. Like, really? Shut the fuck up, dude.
The white guy who thinks that now is not the time to talk about gun control, you guys. The white guy who thinks the solution to gun violence is more guns.
That's every white guy that owns a gun, awful. Man.
Yeah.
The white That's guy who awful. Is about to threaten me with gun violence for making fun of his gun obsession. That guy.
I will shoot you in the fucking face if you don't take that back about me. I swear to God, I will fucking shoot you right now.
Don't talk about my guns or I'm going to kill you with this gun. That's what
I will
it
fucking
like.
Shoot you with this
shoot
gun.
Shoot you in the face with this gun. A white guy who doesn't understand why women don't see what a nice guy he is.
It reminds me of the Office Space. I'm a people person. God damn it. Why can't you people understand? I take the orders from the people to the other people because I'm a people person. Why can't you women understand? I love you women, fucking bitches. I just can't understand why you won't date me.
Number 47 is always on the list is white guy with dreads.
There was a,
that's the time for that. That sound.
Where is that? Yeah. It's a, I got to get that from my phone to Jingle Pal.
Oh, sorry, it's on your phone.
There was a meme that somebody did on Tumblr. Like, I don't know if like if you knew this or if people talk about this, but like, y'all think Black Twitter is like lit and some kind of thing? Black Tumblr? Oh, good Lord. They like, I don't do nothing. Like, I just, all I do is like observe. Like, I'm afraid to even engage. Like, I don't even dip my toe in. I observe Black Tumblr from a distance, but they will drag and fuck a person up. But so someone put together a whole like Tumblr page of like white people in dreads and then like black people with like locks and like, you know, actual appropriate, what, you know, like your hair is supposed to look like. And then superimposed beneath it, pictures of like dogs that had like natty, like napped up, fucked up hair. And then like, you know, there's like a breed of dog that's meant to have, I guess like dreads of some sort. You know what I'm talking about? I forget, like, I don't know what it is, like a Pomeroy or something, whatever it is. But so they had all these different pictures and it was like, this is what you fucking look like. This is what you fucking look like. I was like, ouch, danga.
Yeah, Black Tumblr's no joke.
Yeah, Black Tumblr's
nice. I have to find, there was an article about a white woman who had dreads, and she thought for many years,
yeah.
So she thought her dreads were, you know, a statement about her, you know, about her feminism and womanhood, and then didn't really understand it as a form of appropriation or, you know, inappropriate until many years later, and why she cut them off and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm. We have the white guy who doesn't think this list is very funny. Sorry, dude.
That guy's, they're just preemptively, before this list even comes out, there's a white dude that's like, that list is not very fucking funny. I don't think that list is racist. It's a racist list.
There's another.
If I made the reverse of that list about black people, I'd be the racist, right? You see that, right? You see, if I made a list of 50 black people I don't fuck with, I'd be a racist. It's so fucking racist. I can't believe you don't see that. It's hypocritical.
Number 49 is the white guy who thinks I'm trying to make him feel guilty or ashamed for being a white guy rather than point out some common pitfalls that even the kindest, most well-intentioned dude falls into from time to time in the interest of making us all better allies to each other's struggles.
Yeah, and I'll just say that dude is always, he's mocking rather than showing he's upset with this. He turns around and mocks you, and it's usually like, you're a fucking beta male, you fucking pussy, fucking stupid fucking sheep. You fucking beta male, fucking cuck. You fucking cuckled beta male, fucking cuck. You cucked hard. I'm telling you, I'm engaged. I know all these dudes. I know them all, dude. Seen them all.
You're a little bit too close.
He's very versed in all these.
Because they fucking, you think, who do you think I'd be talking to on Twitter?
I know. And number 50 is a white guy who can't take a motherfucking joke. Shout out to Emily Poppest on theestablishment.co. I'll put the link in the show notes for that piece. Really funny shit.
That was good. I enjoyed that. Thank you.
I thought you would. All right. So let's talk about the biggest box office turkeys of 2015. I wonder if we've seen any of them, you guys. What do you think? I bet we probably have.
And now, are they saying turkey based on gross, based on loss?
I think that's going to tell you, but 13 wide release films from the past 11 months that crashed and burned at the box office. All right. Rock the Casbah. Yeah, the Rock the Casbah movie with Bill Murray.
I never even heard of that.
Clearly, nobody else did either. It was a production budget of $15 million, and it took in $1.47 million in 2,000 theaters on its opening weekend.
Holy shit. So this is.
But I think that's not good.
Yeah.
So it's the bomb is the biggest amount, like I guess loss compared to production cost.
This isn't in any order. These are just 11 flops. Gem and the Holograms. Oh my God. This was a big flop. And it was that so was the, stupid.
That was the cartoon, right?
Yeah. They made it into a live action movie. And then they were like, oh, but they're not going to make it for nostalgia's sake. They're going to try some shitty new thing that didn't even work either.
Yeah.
It was basically a movie they made for nobody. Because it was really, really bad. But it made just $1.38 million.
Oh my God. In 2,000 theaters? That's astronomically low.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
Our Brand is Crisis. That Sandra Bullock movie. Wait, that movie came out? That's not good. I said that. Yeah, worst.
Oh, was that the one with somebody else?
I'm sorry. I go. That Gem and the Holograms opening weekend was $570 per box office. Like the normal box, like a really
and
good.
That's not per showing.
No, that's like, per. That's the per theater. Each theater on a weekend made $548.
A lot of that shit was showing empty. Yeah. Like full empty.
Well, just to give you a comparison, like here, let's pull up Box Office Mojo because it gives you the same number.
Was that Sandra Bullock movie about the one that some girl got killed?
No, it was the one where she was like a political
Latin
operative.
America in like some South American country.
Yeah, but it was her worst wide release opening of all times. 3.24 million in 2,000 theaters as well. It was dropped to 50 theaters
so
after a couple of weeks.
This weekend, in its third week, Star Wars made $5,000 per theater. That Gem movie took in $500 per theater on its opening weekend.
Damn.
That's awful.
Black Hat, starring Chris Hemsworth and directed by Michael Mann, earned just $3.9 million at 2,500 screenings. And it cost $70 million to make it. It only grossed $19.47 million total. And, you know, Rod from Blackout Tips mentioned the other day, I think it was on Twitter, where he said, like, does this dude, Chris Hemsworth, make any hit movies except for when he's Thor? Because I think the answer is no.
But they
keep giving his ass chances. And then people out here are talking about how Michael B. Jordan can't open a movie because the Fantastic Four flopped. Man,
what about
it's so
this,
racist.
This Black Hat, I don't remember anything about it. What was he, a CIA?
I guess it was some sort of CIA something. I have no idea. The Walk with my boyfriend, Joe Gordon-Levitt. It opened in just 448 theaters in October, making just 1.98. It went to wide release, but it didn't attract very many more after that. And it grossed just $10 million. It cost, didn't do much overseas either. That was bad. The Seventh Son with Jeff Bridges and Julianne Moore. Never heard of it.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Really? What? Julianne Moore and Jeff Bridges were in a movie and are dressed like knights and shit?
Apparently. What? Aloha, the controversial movie with Emma Stone starring as a half Asian woman. Whatever. It made $9.7 million in 2,800 theaters, and didn't do well at all. It grossed $26 million, and the budget was $37 million.
Damn,
these are bad. The Last Witch Hunter with Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel.
Yeah, 3,000 theaters, $10.8 million opening.
I just remember
the only good movie he's ever made is Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, and speaking of Fast and Furious, that Fast and Furious 7 is like in the top 10 like highest grossing movies of all time. It made like $1.5 billion.
Well, the thing about Vin, though, he made so much money overseas, $90 million was the budget, but it made over budget by barely a little bit because it did $78,000 overseas. Because it's an action movie, people can actually see it. And that's what gets Vin Diesel. That's why he stayed working, because he's like, well, y'all can roll the bet. You'll make your money back. I'm not saying you're going to be billionaires off of it, but it won't be a loss for you, you know?
Yeah. Well, like I said, Furious 7 is number 5 all-time grossing movie. Like, all-time. Like, Avatar, Titanic, Jurassic World, Avengers, Furious fucking 7. Because of that same kind of dynamic.
Yep. Wow. Chappie with Hugh Jackman.
It
opened in number 1 on a quiet weekend in March for a $13 million on 3,000 theaters, but it slowed down from there and it just ran at $31 million.
It feels like, remember that movie where the robots were fighting that starred, was that also Hugh Jackman? Yeah. Didn't he do that movie also? It ended up being a bit of a bomb and didn't do well in the box office, but then you like watch it. Where robots were fighting.
Like, robots fighting.
Oh, that movie was pretty good, though.
But in the same way, I think this could be like that. Chappie's like, it kind of totally bombed.
Nah, because I started watching it and it was shitty.
Oh. Okay.
So, no.
There you go.
Pan, which that came out too. I didn't remember that.
No, that I remember that
Yo,
one.
Yo, is there a theme here? Hugh Jackman's coming up quite a few times. I'm talking about Thor. Maybe I should be talking about Wolverine fucking up.
I remember when Pan, they just kept showing all the previews. I was like, oh my God, that movie is way, way over. It's just so huge budget. They're never going
to
make
it. $150 million to make it.
Yeah, nuts.
It it didn't gross. It domestically grossed $34 million only. It took in another 123 overseas. Total gross, or 123 total. Jupiter Ascending. Oh my God, with Channing Tatum.
What's that even?
And Mila Kunis. What? Oh my God, so bad.
I heard of this.
It was a space movie, and everybody said it was the worst movie.
It was awful.
I heard it was so bad. Was it based on something though? Was it a book or something or a game? I don't know. Anyways, it opened with 18.37 million from 3,100 theaters. And after playing for months over the globe, the total gross was, I don't even know what it was, but it was really bad.
183 million on a budget of 176.
There we go.
That's not good.
No. Fantastic Four.
And you know, when they talk about these budgets, that doesn't include the marketing, right? Like, that's just to make the movie. Like, they lost on the fucking advertising for sure.
Fantastic Four, really, really bad. Finished its run with $56 million. Cost $120 million to make.
Wow.
It's just every review I heard of anyone just said it was a bad movie. Mm-hmm. Like, anything even like people that are like, I really like comic book movies and I like the first Fantastic Fours and I like the anthology, it just wasn't a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come back from that.
Yeah.
If it's a bad movie, it's a bad movie. Doesn't matter how slick it looks.
Facts. Steve Jobs, which I hopefully will put to bed the idea that anybody wants to see another goddamn Steve Jobs project.
There's so many.
Like, why so many? Like, there's the shitty one? Many. This good, quote-unquote good one got all the awards and everything. This good one didn't even gross as much as the shitty one. That should tell you that nobody wants to see it. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad or whatever.
The last and only one I wanted to see was the one that Ashton Kutcher starred in on TV when he was Steve Jobs on the television one.
He wasn't Steve Jobs in the television one. He was Steve Jobs in a movie one. The television one was Noah Wyle.
Oh, yeah. That's the last one I wanted to see. That's the only one I saw.
Right. Because that was about Bill Gates, too. That was a different one. So how about the best game show moments? Do that.
All right. Best game show moments. If it's not up there, it's got to be Miss Columbia.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know if that's a game show. I don't think that's a game show.
He's a game show.
I don't. Yeah, but that's not a game show.
You're right.
So we had Matt Jackson, that creepy dude on Jeopardy, and with his perfectly timed smiles, and he would go boom after he answered a Daily Double. He kept talking. Remember? The guy, he won the tournament of champions. He was like a total black guy.
That guy was weird as shit.
Totally weird. He won $400,000, 13 game winning streak, fourth longest in Jeopardy history. He was just way over the top. Talia Lavin, also on Jeopardy, who was in Final Jeopardy but didn't know the answer to the question, and she answered it, "What is the love ballad of Turd Ferguson?" Which is a reference to Burt Reynolds as played by Norm MacDonald on the fake Jeopardy on Saturday Night Live. Yeah. Trebek didn't understand the reference, but fortunately, the entire internet did.
And what does it say? It says PS 9 months? What's underneath the Turd Ferguson?
I think it's like P.S. Hi Mom or something like that.
It does say P.S. Hi Mom. Yeah. What is the love ballad of Turd Ferguson?
It's hilarious. So funny. So coming in next, we have Daniela Perez, who's on The Price is Right. She was thrilled when she got the chance to win two different packages. And we'll play that. We'll play her bidding. Here we go.
Danielle.
$5.99.
Kristen.
So I want to stop here and just mention that Danielle is differently abled. She is in a wheelchair making her bid, and this is to get the chance to actually play The Price is Right. You know, when they're down there, they're like, come on down. And then the four of them, that's the part we're at right now. Okay.
501, Drew.
501. Actual retail price, $674.
Danielle wins. She's so fucking excited. Everyone, she can't believe it. Oh, my God. She's like, I have to go. I have my wheelchair. They ask her which way she can go. So she wheels off. She can't run up like everybody else does. They normally just run right there. Nope. She has to actually wheel all the way around. All the way to the handicap access. And now she's up on stage.
Nice to see you. What's going on?
I'm so excited right now.
I thought you'd never get up here, man. You were close a couple times.
Yeah, I'm so pumped.
But here she is. George, what do we got for?
Couple of prizes, Danielle. We've got a treadmill and a new
Her face is everything. Seriously.
These are really nice.
First, this folding treadmill features 24 built-in speed and incline programs. Stop. Plus a touchscreen with USB hookup from Avanti Fitness.
Yep.
And second, relax in this...
Oh, yeah. she did get to go on Jimmy Kimmel Live to talk about this, and she received a cruise on that show. So good for her.
She was good natured about it too. That you said if you could see her face. So she's on Twitter, and it's Diva Deluxe, and she tweeted out the picture of herself there, and then literally wrote, "When you win a treadmill on national TV, but you have no feet." Yeah. So she was good natured about it.
She was very good natured about it. Next was Tom Flynn, also Jeopardy. He may have come in third place, but his good looks definitely won the game. Tom the bartender competed on Jeopardy, and immediately his blue seal poses coupled with his "I'm too cool for school" vibe had Twitter posting screenshots of the hot Jeopardy guy. So there's just a bunch of people like tweeting him who he's like, "Hey,
Tom the bartender."
Yeah. Tommy on Jeopardy, like, what? Okay. Darcy Circuit Family Feud. Okay. Let's see what Darcy had to do.
Oh my God, I just read it.
Point values are double. We got top seven answers on the board. Name something a doctor might pull out of a person. Darcy.
A gerbil.
That guy laughing is a person that's with her on the stage. That's the other contestant. He is cracking up. Oh my gosh. He's stopping his foot and everything. He can't even believe it.
Like that.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Bam. Gerbil.
Awesome.
Just like that. First answer. Oh no. Bam. Gerbil. Just like that. Pull it up. I've heard of this. Hey, over here. Gerbil. Name something a doctor might pull out of a person. Bam! Gerbil!
That was a good answer! Oh my God.
You know, and that's even like... I don't want to say that like that never happened, but I really do think that's one
of
the things.
It did.
Like,
I think urban, somebody came out and talked about
legend.
It. Yeah, it's like urban legend. I don't think it really happened. Yeah. It was like during like in high school. I remember like you know about Richard Gere.
Gerbiling. He put a gerbil up his butt in a sock and cut his toenail. Like, just, you know, way too much about this. Why are you telling me this shit, dude? This is crazy.
Right.
Yeah. So Laura Abshi. From Jeopardy, Upspeak. I guess she had Upspeak.
A whole thing 600, state 800, state 1000, cop 800, a whole thing 600, state 800, state 1000, cop 800, a whole thing 600, state 800, state 1000, cop 800.
Laura, who's from Georgia, has a distinct way of selecting categories, ending her request with a rising intonation. A two-day appearance spawned a Jeopardy Laura hashtag as well as Twitter account with her voice. But Laura remained a good sport about it with her own tongue-in-cheek tweets. So she did a lot of one. So that's funny. Let's see. Becky Sullivan. A lot of these are from Jeopardy. Becky Sullivan, Jeopardy contestant, took a wild guess on Jeopardy and doing so unintentionally insulted liberals. Oh, wait. Let's see what this is.
For people on the political left, 30 seconds. Good luck.
Okay. So it's a flower. And it says this flower pictured here is called this. Also a disparaging term for people on the political left.
Becky, we're going to start with you, and I have a feeling that you may have found a way to insult liberals in this country. Let's take a look at your response. What is a pansy? Yep, You found a way to insult liberals in this country, and you are incorrect. So you're not doing yourself any good.
She is a producer for NPR. Second place, FYI.
You lost all of your money.
Oh, wow.
Over to Sean Anderson now, who could not be caught. He was at 15,600.
Bleeding heart.
Down the correct response. What is a bleeding heart? Although I do like.
Oh, Becky.
A pansy.
Photo was a flower. The name was also disparaging. Guessy best pick. Guest. Pansy. Blah, blah, blah. History. Noura from Wheel of Fortune. Everyone knows that you should choose R-S-T-L-N or E during Wheel of Fortune, but a contestant named Noura picked two of the least common letters in the English language. Let's see. How
you don't know that, Troy? What's wrong with you?
Noura.
Z.
Say that again for me.
Z.
Did you say Z?
Zulu?
You did say Z. Okay. No,
Z. Yo, Z, are you sure?
Steve.
R.
Noura. You're buzzed out. Letter. Noura. And you have to call a letter.
She C. missed calling a letter, guys.
I wonder what letter Noura would call.
X.
What the hell?
Steve. No B. Noura?
I'm sorry.
She missed it again. Wait a second. I just want to say, this is Hangman.
All you got to do is say a letter. Like, it's not right. Guess. It's not get. You don't have to say what the thing is. All you literally have to do is say A, B, C, or D. Like, just give me a letter. And
two.
And missed two.
Noura. Noura, why?
X and Z.
Left.
Footprints. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, but even fucking, even, he's like, yeah, you got it. And fucking, he tried to correct, like, Z? Oh, you did say Z. Z? Like, Zulu?
Thank you, Steve, very much for being here. Appreciate it. Troy, you won $4,300.
That's
good time. We enjoyed having you here. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys.
Right.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
Now, when you called some unusual letters in that round.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was an unsatisfactory answer, but she's not under oath. There's nothing I can do.
Well, that was an unsatisfactory answer. She's not under oath. That's all I can do. And what was her answer? That's what I saw?
Yeah, that's what I saw. That's what I saw. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it.
X and Z.
That's what you saw.
And anyway, well, that was unsatisfactory.
Dumbass.
Bellamy Young, also on Jeopardy.
This Brit's own poor childhood inspired him to write books like David Copperfield. Bellamy.
Who is Charles Dickens?
Right.
Literature for 400.
Her books, like Sense and Sensibility, have a lot to do with love and marriage, but she never married. Bellamy.
Who is Jane Austen?
Jane Austen.
Yo, she housed this fucking game. She killed everybody.
Yeah, it was Josh Gad and somebody else,
Ginger
and she won by a ton.
Yeah, like a crap ton. She killed them.
Melly.
Manuela Arbelez on Price is Right. Everybody makes a mistake. I don't want to know what this is. Let's see. Oh, my God. I'm scared. I'm scared.
No.
Oh, my God. She messed up. Oh, no. Oh, no. She accidentally gave away a $21,000 car. In one game, a contestant had three chances to correctly guess the price tag. After her first guess, the model took away the car to reveal that it was incorrect, but thinking the game was over, she then went on to reveal the correct price tag. Congratulations, Manuela just gave you a car. Let's listen to that.
Wow. Oh, so it wasn't a contestant, it was the Price is Right model.
Yes. That's pretty funny. Kevin yeah, on Family Feud.
At my job, I can fuck up, but it doesn't give away a $20,000 car.
Yeah. Here we go. This might have a fucking commercial.
Kevin? Steve? No. Tell me the last thing you stuck your finger in.
Oh, no.
No. Oh, no.
My wife, Steve.
No.
What? Oh, no. five, y'all. She gave him a high five. So did his brother. So did his brother. She says, sorry, baby. Steve can't believe it. He cannot believe it.
Good answer,
Ken. Good answer, Ken. All right,
good answer.
It's the truth.
Sorry, baby.
You got that green room.
What's up there, Steve?
That's my
what?
Boy, Steve.
You say it's up there.
It's up there, Steve.
Yeah, okay. You okay, man? Number one.
Kevin. We have Amber. This last one is Amber Lancaster during an episode of The Price is Right. A model step off the side. Here we go.
Comp with an 89cc engine and dual front running lights.
Wow, Amber's right here. Can you help us out? 7,387 or 5,598 for the two of them. What do you think? 7,000 or 5,000?
I'm going to say 5,598.
5,598. All right. Ready, Amber? Here we go. 5,598. One, two, three. Let's give it to her. Of course. Easy peasy. That's all there is to it. We're going to be back with the Showcase Showdown right after this. That's where we
wait, when did she smash anything?
Showcase is right after that.
Oh my gosh, she just fell.
Jeez.
Did I do that?
The contestant thought she did. So she went to the side and she broke a bunch of light bulbs on the set. She just tripped a bit. And those were the game show highlights of the year. Let's see. I think we can probably have time maybe for one more. No, I think that's good.
That's it, huh?
I think that's it. That's our last one, game show highlights. So thanks for joining us, Carl.
See you, money.
For this short walk.
Always
down
a pleasure.
The memories that were 2015.
Mm. Yes, yes, yes.
And we want to give a shout out to everyone that's been on our show this year. I wish I had a full list of them, but Rod from the Blackout Tips and Karen came on and Rashani was on and
Ijeoma,
gosh, she came on twice this year. Carl, obviously. We had
Black Rob.
Oh, God Chris bless Fett. Black Rob. Chris Fett.
We had from Good
Chonilla
Nick,
was
Nick
on.
Jew was on.
Nick Jew was with us as well. Yeah. We had so many great people.
And
on
what
the
about
show.
The couple that does the podcast in Baltimore?
We had Michael and Nicole Michael from Nicole, Something in Common on. Yeah, we had so many amazing people. So definitely. And we have an exciting month coming up for you. Next week, Chris Fett from Insanity Report. Is Insanity Check, right?
Insanity Check, Movie Trailer
Review. Yeah, Movie Trailer Review.
Premium Network.
MTR Networks will be on the show next week. And the nice. Following week, we have the queen of the Black Podcast herself, Queen Karen, will be here with us. And after that, Black Rob will be back in the house. First time since we did our Fear the Walking Dead recap, he'll be back. And then we finish up with Think Pretty Smart from Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine podcast. Her first time on the show. We're very excited to have her. So be on the lookout for all of those. And Carl, thanks again for joining us. I know you'll be back
thank
soon.
You, thank you.
And we're going to see you next definitely. Month. So that's exciting. Also.
Yeah, wait till I get,
yes!
I'll get a little something lined up for you here in Grand Rapids. Come visit.
Okay. Okay. Y'all, yeah. Cut it out, the two of you.
I got to take care of my man, Carl.
Yeah. What are we calling the show then? That's the for next question.
Carl's Jr. I don't know what we got.
That's
do.
A good name. We'll call it that. I love it. All right, babe.
Oh, that's my keyword.
Get it there. Together, Drew.
Good night, everybody.
High five.
High five.